Go to Isaiah 29. Woe to Ariel. To Ariel. Ariel means the Lion of God. It's another name for Jerusalem. Woe to Ariel, the city where David dwelt. Add you year to year, let them kill or continue to kill the sacrifices. What he's saying is, woe unto this place, to your Jerusalem, where you continually make the sacrifices, where you haven't redeemed the time, but you still continue to add year to year to year as though you're living in linear time. Understand? Do you guys really know what the gospel is? Or do you just know a bunch of memorized words about it? The gospel is so total, so complete, so finished, so massive, that its nature fulfills everything you could ever dream of. And so most of the body still walks around as if there wasn't a gospel. They walk around trying to put God's name on whatever it is they may be doing or not doing, or half the time they forget about God. But the gospel is written in the stars. It's written in the pyramid. It's written here. It's written in our hearts. It's written. It's universal. It's not some choice that some idiot makes by accepting Jesus as their personal savior. It is the most singular, all-encompassing. It's the only thing that's ever happened in time and space. And it so must consume you that you have sold the right to yourself, you have sold everything for that pearl of great price. But instead, today and even here, we've made the gospel, and we've made even the sense of community, an idea that it's something that you get something from God, instead of seeing what true worship is. So we continue in our Jerusalem that now is. And for some of you, that's here. And for some of you, I'm the king. I make the rules. And that's just so sick, it just makes me want to retch. And we have these little pissants running around like any flesh, thinking they're special, denigrating the gospel, thinking of it lightly. And we have some of you in here who, the moment something happens that upsets your little timetable or your little agenda, then there is no gospel. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, the kingdom of God. Every needful thing shall be made unto you with no effort on your part. Haven't you played Chinese baseball your whole life? Well, why continue it? When you have these Bible study meetings where you deal with issues like, the only issue to be dealt with is his unbelief. Everything else is psychobabble. Woe to Ariel, the city where David dwelt, who continue to add year unto year. They live as though they're in linear time. Blah, blah, blah. Boring crap. The idea they think they're working. We don't have anything to do with this world. Hasn't that dawned on you all yet? We don't have anything to do with trying to convince people to believe. Woe to Ariel, the city where David dwelt. Add ye year to year and let them continue to kill the sacrifices. Don't you understand that's what you do? 90% of the time you make offerings. Killing another sacrifice. Yet will I will distress Ariel, and there shall be heaviness and sorrow, and it shall be unto me as Ariel, and I will camp against thee round about, and will lay siege against thee with a mount, and I will raise forts against thee. I don't want God raising any forts against us. I don't want God camping around about, because it's if the word meaning of that word is he's camping with an army of angels. I want us to be obedient to that which we have seen. I want us to purge the rebellion from this camp. Make it black and white. Thou shalt be brought down, and shall speak out of the ground. Thy speech shall be low out of the dust, and thy voice shall be as of one that hath a familiar spirit out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper out of the dust. That's defined. Perfect weakness, perfect emptiness. Moreover, the multitude of thy strangers shall be like the small dust. You know what the small dust is? Remember we talked about that?
Stuff that's left on the scale.
The stuff that's left on the scale after the wheat has been weighed has absolutely no value. Moreover, the multitude of thy strangers shall be like small dust, and the multitude of the terrible ones. Anybody know who the terrible ones are?
Present person.
You just read that out of your concordance. The terrible ones are the ones that think they are something, that have taken a stand for any reason. A terrible one spiritually is one who has judged a brother. A terrible one spiritually is one who thinks he's better than another person. A terrible one spiritually, well, you get the idea. I could go on all night on that one. Well, the multitude of thy strangers shall be like small dust, and the multitude of the terrible ones shall be as chaff that passeth away. Yea, it shall be at an instant, suddenly. Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake, with great noise, and storm and tempest and flame of devouring fire. And the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel, even all that fight against her and her munition, and that distress her shall be as a dream of a night vision. All of you except those that have an excess of B6. When you wake up in the morning, if you've had a dream, you remember it for an instant, and then it's gone. Or He might remember a snatch of her. It shall be even as when a hungry man dreams. And behold, in his dream he has a scrumptious meal.
Scrumptious.
He eateth. But he awakeneth, and his soul is empty. It shall be as when someone is so devoid of spiritual understanding that they sit around and make plans and take pleasure in what they're going to do tomorrow. And then even if it does happen, you've gone into debt so much there's no pleasure. Be as if a hungry man dreameth. He has a great meal. He wakes up. And his soul is empty. Or when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh. But he awaketh, and behold, he is faint. And his soul hath appetite. So shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion. Stay yourselves and wonder, cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. And the vision of all has become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, Read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, Read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. Wherefore the Lord said, For as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. You know how you know if the fear towards God is taught by the precept of men? It's real simple test. You fear the one that taught you. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people. Even a marvel. You don't like it when God says marvelous. It's not like when, what's the guy that says marvelous?
Fernando. Billy Crystal.
Yeah. Terry thinks he'd like to have God say marvelous.
Marvelous job.
You're doing a marvelous
job. Marvelous job.
Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people. Even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord. You guys want to know who called me the other day? Out of the blue.
You want this on tape?
Yeah, I don't care.
Okay.
Billy Graham.
Huh?
Billy Graham.
No. In 5 million years, you'd never guess.
Oh, you told me, so I...
Oh, I can't say.
Jim Overwater.
No.
Have we ever met him?
No, it's a her.
It's a her. Oh. Why?
For those of you playing it,
Governor Ann Richards.
Jessica Hahn.
I bet we would have guessed it.
That's fine.
We had a certain amount of time.
She said we had an opening for secretary while Barbara was gone.
She said she.
Heck of an idea, John.
Harry,
oh, yeah.
Harry, that really does.
See, I said it, but you're going to get hit by
because it's the way that Harry said it.
Oh.
He always holds his hand out.
Right on the bone. That sharp bone.
Well, don't you think I knew that?
I know. Jeez.
In fact,
I think you tore my Achilles tendon.
That was for Crystal comment.
Frank.
Yeah, that really
was just a thought.
Anyway, she had she said she got my number from a mutual friend. She would tell me who. I forgot.
Hugh.
What is Hugh Hefner?
Joe Bob Briggs, probably.
Yeah.
Anyway, but she had read something about me and us. She started crying. She wanted to choose. So thankful that we were doing what we were doing. And if there's anything we'd ever do to help. She was bemoaning how she hasn't been able to find a church since all this happened to her. It was really unique. Anyway, I've got to write a letter to her. I forgot. Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. No, wait. Woe unto him. Wait. The wisdom of the wise shall perish, and the understanding of the prudent shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us, and who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding? That's what I talked about how God sees her when she pouts. I think she understood a little bit. Is it not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest, and in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the terrible one is brought to nothing, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off, that make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, and turn aside the just for a thing of naught. Yesterday morning? Yeah. Seems like 100 years ago.
Yes, it does.
Harry came in and made an offering.
I did.
You know you did.
I remember.
Newspaper.
What?
Trust me, it was an offering.
Yeah, okay. I can see that.
You can see it?
Yeah, it didn't seem like it, but yeah.
Okay.
No need. There was no need to say that.
Okay. He does periodically. He makes offerings. And sometimes I say.
It's a periodical.
Periodically. Periodically makes a periodical offer. That's good. So anyway, so I ignored him. Sat there through the whole Bible study.
Mad at you for ignoring
me. Mad at me because I did not give the proper response to Harry in appreciation of the good thing that he is. So what that means is, don't you understand that, what this means? It means now we have two defenders of the body, of the population against Ollie. Well, should we try for three?
That's not.
Do we have any volunteers?
But make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, and turn aside the just for a thing of naught. Therefore thus saith the Lord, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob. Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale, But when he seeth his children, the work of mine hands, in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name, and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall fear the God of Israel. Now here's the reason I read all this chapter. Prayerfully, they also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine.
Well,
Paul
chapter.
Great chapter. Anybody thought anything more about going through the veil? Living in the other side of the veil?
I've been thinking about it. I remember when I did backflips off the diving board, that feeling.
Yeah, it's the same kind of thing. It's the same thing that Gary has talked about before, about doing the, you know, practice and practice. Seems like then all of a sudden you go.
Yeah.
But those are just vain types of what it means to always walk.
Yeah, always be
boldness.
Instant in season.
I think the thing that's hit me the most about it, not only just the whole concept, but the constancy of it.
Yeah, you don't go in and out.
Yeah, I'd always had this in and out thing, and I therefore spent more time out than in. And but since we talked the other day, it's like, it's not that, you know, life is just suddenly emotional high or anything, but there's an abiding to this understanding that is always ready, as opposed to before, it had to be cranked up or whatever. But by this knowledge, it's there always.
Okay. You need to understand also that is the only place where abiding counts. You understand? It doesn't count to abide if you're outside the camp.
You're abiding in Babylon.
It doesn't count to abide anyplace else. It doesn't even count to abide eating at the table of showbread or the candlestick or the, was it, altar of incense or at the back of the brazen altar at the laver. It doesn't even count to abide at the door. It only accounts to abide on the mercies.
Yeah, because everywhere else you're moving towards that, so there's not a place
there's not
to
abide
at.
Yeah. So you can't sit abide. Down. You can't rest.
Right. You're abiding in another place than that, you're out of order.
Well, you're not abiding.
You're not moving
toward
that.
And it's because there are certain among us that have their basis of their presence and is that, well, I've been abiding, and I haven't.
Yeah.
Do you understand that the only time that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life is from the door to the mercy seat?
Then
he's the life. Then he is
life. He's the way, the truth.
But he's outside of the covering.
It don't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, we read that in Revelation, the letter to the church at Ephesus, where, I mean, they had that abiding thing down. And I mean, you know, Jesus even said, you know, that you know, you're persevere and hate the doctrine that people had in. I mean, he had all these great things, but they left their first love, and he said, repent or I'll come take away your place.
We were talking about it last night, Bible study, and I've never seen that, but in Hebrews 6, it talks about an anchor to the soul going through the veil. I've never seen it in that same context. So. But it's a good hours, but it's something sure, an anchor to our soul, because he's gone through the veil and prepared that for us.
Yeah. Anybody have any more thoughts?
Yeah, I've been seeing how all these years, like I'm praying to the body, or I'm praying to you, rather than praying really what real prayer is.
Yeah. Forget me, just walk through the veil.
Yeah, just walk through the veil.
And if I'm there, then we have fellowship. And we're co-workers.
Yeah.
If I'm not there, it doesn't matter anyway. I mean, even if I'm a reprobate, you still have to do it.
Yeah.
I didn't get that last time. You're still a reprobate. You still have to do it.
If I'm a reprobate,
you still
have to go through the veil,
oh, right.
Whether I make it or not.
Yeah.
I wish we had a place or a time to do a concentrated study of the offerings. I mean, we studied them last time. We didn't understand them. If we get some money, let's take two or three days and go to Gilmont.
Club Med. Club Med.
Yeah.
Or someplace,
yeah.
You know.
Amen.